Ja, Vicky. we all know Vicky. Vicky leads the journey in Englefield Green. When I was praying for you, this word feast came to me. Okay, so let's just pray for Vicky. Oh, Father, we want to thank you for Vicky. We just praise you. She's such a blessing to us, Lord. Thank you for her love, her passion, her energy, Holy Father. Thank you. We just ask, Lord, you just anoint her with your spirit today. Just pour it out on her, Father. Oh, Father, we just want to feast, Father, on your word. Let us feast today on your word. Let every word that comes from her mouth, Father, be from your heart. Every word, Father, from your heart. Father, just let your word nourish us. Let it change us. Yeah. Let us be able to take it away with us today into the world. Oh. So just want to bless Vicky right now, Father. Father, let your spirit come upon her. Shambhata. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Hello. It's good to be here. That was a great time, wasn't it? Worshipping. just before I get into what I'm going to speak about today, I just want to speak off the back of Patricia's word that she shared. You know, I was just thinking about what Patricia was talking about the cast and us getting out of the cast and stuff. And the great thing is, isn't it, that the church is not just about the Sunday meeting. Does anyone agree? You know, it's about us. God has called us together to be church with the mission of bringing his kingdom. It's good, isn't it? So Jesus has given us that commission to take the gospel wherever he calls us to be in the day-to-day of our lives. And I just want to encourage us that when we're thinking about that picture that Patricia brought, to really be thinking, what does that mean for us as the church, each of us, with a really important part to play? You know, the whole thing in Corinthians about one body, many parts, and how you need every part for it to be a fully functioning body. That for the church here in Slough, what does it mean for you? You know, that everybody here has an important part to play. Not just in Sunday meetings, although that's part of it, but in actually bringing God's kingdom wherever he calls us to go. So it's good, isn't it? It's encouraging. So I want to encourage you this morning that you have a significant part to play. You know, God has created you in a really awesome way, and his spirit in you, you and him can do awesome things. And so, you know, so often we don't believe the truth about who we are as the church and who we are as individuals within that. And so that's, it ties us up in this cast, you know. But once we know who we are in God, we know who the church is called to be, then we will be free to be it. You know, in over our heads, for those of you who came to hear Leslie Ann, she talked about being in over our head, you know, just being in the river, in over your head, because if you're not in over your head in the river, then you, actually, I'm just thinking I'm getting a bit complicated and explain it, but you know, you can look at it in two ways. There's being in over your head in terms of finding yourself in situations where you're like, oh God, if you don't turn up, then this is just going to go all to pot. And when you find yourselves in that kind of situation, you need to make sure that you're in over your head in the river. So that's where we want to be, isn't it? So I just wanted to just encourage us in that this morning off the back of what Patricia was sharing. But I've been kind of asking God, what does he want to say this morning? And the thing I felt like the Father wants to say to us is he wants to encourage us this morning. Yay! And he wants to encourage us in who he is. He wants to encourage us in who he is. So I'm expecting that that's what, I mean, God's already been doing that, hasn't he, this morning, but that there's going to be more of that, that we can just rest in who God is. It's like the best place to be when we know who God is, because once we know who God is, then we can be at peace. We don't need to keep striving to sort things out, striving to be something else. We don't need to feel bad about ourselves. You know, we don't need to feel depressed even when difficult situations are going on around us, because we can rest in who God is. And I just want to encourage us this morning. Let's just rest in who God is. It's the best place to be. And I felt like, you know, it's interesting. Malcolm said the word feast. And one of the things that I've got written down here is feast on the goodness of God, not on negativity. And I just want to encourage you this morning, choose, make the choice. It's not a magical thing that happens. We choose to feast on the goodness of God, not on negativity. And so often we can feed on the negativity. There's plenty of negativity around for us to feast on. Yeah? Do you agree? You know, it was not hard. It's very easy, in fact. But there's lots of goodness around. God is good for us to feast on, and we need to choose to feast on the goodness of God, not on the negativity, no matter what situations we find ourselves in. Because God is so good. And has Colin been here to speak on gold yet? Yeah, he has. So you know that's what we want to go for as River at this time, is those values of goodness, the goodness of God, the openness of God, the love of God, dynamic power of God. And so, you know, this morning I want us to focus on the goodness of God. God is a good God. Yeah? Very true. And so we want to choose today afresh that we're going to feast on the goodness of God. And almost encourage, we need to encourage each other in it, don't we? Because, you know, sometimes things happen and we end up feeding on the negativity. We need to encourage each other. No! Feed on the goodness of God. And in it, you know, I feel that it's really important we just become like little children. You know, Matthew 18 talks about how, you know, who is the greatest? The disciples are arguing about it. And Jesus says, if you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, become like a little child. Which, you know, just turns everything on his head, doesn't it? Of the way that the world thinks to be the greatest. You have to be the best at this, that and the other, and the most intelligent, the most successful in whatever way. But Jesus says, become like a little child. And when we've been Christians for a long time, you know, we can become professional in a way, in a funny kind of way, you know, that we think we know it all, we've seen it all before, da 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 da. Does everyone ever feel like that? Yep. And we can become cynical as well because of that. And, you know, almost think that we know better than these other people who are still excited. They don't realize yet that's not how it really works. You know, and we need to choose not to be like that, but to be like little children. And I really feel that's what God is encouraging us in this morning, that as we look afresh at who he is, let's approach it as a little child. Yeah? Let's not approach it as an adult with all of our stuff in our head. Let's approach it like a little child, because the more I follow Jesus, the more I realize how simple it is to follow him. It's not easy, but it's simple. You know, the reason I say it's not easy is because we're called to like take up our cross and follow him. You know, we sacrifice, we pay a great cost to do it. It's always worth it. But it is simple to follow him, even though we pay a cost. And we love to complicate it. You know, especially in the culture that we live in, we love to complicate what it means to follow Jesus, because maybe it makes us feel better somehow in our insecurities to make it more complicated. It's harder to understand who God is, and doing things for God is a complicated process. You know, it's not. It's simple. It's simple. We become like little children. We simply follow him. We obey him. We listen to him. We let him guide us. So I would encourage you to be simple. Like little children, you know, feasting on God's goodness, not on what God isn't doing, but what he is doing. But let's just go to Psalm 103. I love Psalm 103. It's like the best psalm, in my view. But, you know, if you want to meditate and reflect on who God is, I think this is a great place to go. So let's just read that through. So Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Yeah, I love it. And I'm just going to go through this psalm and just speak on different parts of it, just to encourage us in who God is. So just believe that as we're going through this, the Holy Spirit's going to be stirring up stuff in your heart, giving fresh revelation of who he is, that we're going to encounter him. That's the whole point that we read scripture. It takes us into an encounter with God. It's not an academic exercise, but it's leading us to encounter with God, which is just amazing. So let's look at verse 1, the first bit there. So bless the Lord, O my soul. So as David is writing this psalm, he's speaking to his spirit, his soul, his innermost being, and he's telling himself, bless the Lord. So the kind of that word there, bless, could mean praise the Lord, thank the Lord, congratulate the Lord. You know, there are different things that, so if he's kind of telling himself, praise the Lord. He's telling his soul to praise the Lord. And, you know, David, he'd been through terrible things in his life. You know, when you look at scholars, when they look at the chronological order of these psalms, you know, they position it at the time after Saul had died. And just to remind us of the story there, you know, David, he'd been anointed as king. And, you know, he went through that really terrible period for years and years where Saul is still the king. Someone in his life who's trying to kill him, you know, and all of those terrible things that happened there, where David was in anguish over all of that. So David has been through a really difficult time. You know, God anoints him and calls him, and then he goes through this terrible season. he's got reason to be feeling down. Now Saul has died and he's king, but his best friend Jonathan has also died. So there's a context there. You know, David hasn't just had like a bad day, you know. He's been going through a terrible season in his life where, you know, people that he trusted have betrayed him and all of that kind of stuff. And he must have felt like, where is God in all of this? I mean, we read it in the Psalms, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So there's the context of it. And now suddenly David is the king. And, you know, he might be feeling overwhelmed with what that will mean to be the king of Israel and all of that kind of stuff. So bear that in mind when you're thinking that. And so David is stirring himself up. He's speaking to himself. You know, he's feasting on the goodness of God, not on the negativity. He's reminding himself who God is. And actually, one of the things I wanted to say is if you want to think about this kind of thing even more, there's a really great book written by Bill Johnson called Strengthening Yourself in the Lord. Has anyone read it? Yep. It's a brilliant book. I encourage you to read it if you want to like really pursue what it means to do this even more. So David's choosing to do this. So he's telling himself, you know, praise the Lord. And he's telling himself, don't forget his benefits. Don't forget his goodness. He's reminding himself of it. He says, he forgives all your sins. That's an amazing thing. You know, when God forgives us, he doesn't do half a job. He does the whole thing. I mean, you know, it's expanded more in this psalm, but you know, He helps us deal with the consequences of our sin. You know, sin damages us as individuals more than anything. It damages other people, but we get damaged by sin. We get broken by sin, you know, all those things that come in. But God, he doesn't just forgive us, but he heals us from the damage that sin has caused in our lives and in other people's lives. He gives us that fresh start. I always think that's just one of the most amazing things. You know, when I see how God does it in my own life and I see it in other people's lives of terrible situations that people have found themselves in either by their own doing or other people's doing and how God just comes in and redeems stuff. You know, I'm amazed at situations that I see, you know, people that I know where you just think, oh my goodness, that's such a terrible situation. Is anything going to change there? And God steps in and he does something. And I'm just amazed by God when I really reflect on that. And so let's remember the kind of God that we have. He doesn't just say, okay, well, you can get into heaven now. You know, he doesn't just say that, which is quite amazing in itself. Let's not belittle that. But you know what I mean? It's not as simple as that. He doesn't just forgive us and leave us. He finishes the job. He turns us around. He heals us. He helps us behave differently. He helps us heal relationships. It's just amazing. So he heals all your diseases. That's the promise that we have from God. He heals all our diseases. It's amazing. Okay, 4, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's the way that God deals with us, is in loving kindness and tender mercy. He deals with us in that gentle way. You know, sometimes we feel so guilty about the way that maybe we're living our lives, maybe mistakes that we feel we made, that we feel hang over us, and we expect that therefore God is going to approach us in a, well, you know, you could have done better kind of way. But that's not the way God approaches us, because God sees who we are. He sees who we are. He sees who he created us to be, and he has the most incredible love for us. So at any moment, he's looking to break in with his loving kindness and his tender mercy and take our life out of the place of destruction and into a fruitful, open space. Because he's always wanting to enable us to be who he's created us to be. That's God's heart towards us. That's his heart towards everyone. And it's just like amazing, isn't it? That that's the way that he approaches us. Those open arms waiting to crown us with that loving kindness and that tender mercy. Verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things. He doesn't just forgive our sins, heal our diseases, you know, take our life out of destruction. He gives us good things so that we feel satisfied. And that goes a long way. You know, God knows how he created us. If we are passionate about music, for example, you know, he wants to provide good things for us towards that end. You know, he's not just interested in only helping us with music so that we can lead worship or be in the worship band. You know, I know it sounds a bit cliche, but let's just encourage ourselves in it. God, he wants to give us opportunities to enjoy music. You know, it could be anything. You know, maybe you like the outdoors or beaches or, you know, little things. Maybe you like collecting stamps. I don't know. But the things that are important to us are things that we enjoy, that make us alive. They're just part of the way God created us. God wants to meet us in those things as well and provide ways for us, isn't it? And so it's good news, isn't it? Yay! Let's get excited. It's great. God satisfies us with good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Does that sound good? You know, when, no matter what age we are, whether, you know, we're younger or older, we can feel old or young. You can be young and feel old. No, let me get this right. You can be younger in ages but feel old. Or you can be older in age but feel young. Yeah? Because it's to do with what's going on inside here, about how you feel. And let's just face it, if we are resting in the goodness of God, knowing that our sins are forgiven, knowing the reality of that in our lives, our diseases are healed, that God satisfies us with good things, takes us into a place of life, then actually we're going to feel energized, aren't we? We're going to feel alive, we're going to feel young, we're going to feel good. So I encourage you, no matter what age we are, let's rest in the goodness of God so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. So the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. This is a good promise for people who feel like they're being oppressed. If you feel oppressed, that means suggests that something from the outside, which maybe you're not in control of, is coming against you. And that, you know, there's a sense of injustice that this is happening to you. But we can trust in that promise that God executes righteousness for people. He's a God who brings justice to injustices that happen in our lives. I love it all, but I particularly love verse 7 because he says, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Now, the reason I love this verse is because it's talking about the difference between the relationship that Moses had with God and the relationship which the children of Israel had with God, in that Moses, you know, he had that deep intimacy with God. He spoke to God face to face. And because of that intimacy that he had, it meant that he didn't just know about what God did. He knew about his ways. Yeah? Can you see the difference there? If you know God's ways, you know why they do what they do. They talk to you about it. It suggests a kind of intimacy of really, truly knowing God. The children of Israel just observed from a distance what God was doing. They observed, you know, the crazy things that happened, the Red Sea opening, whatever. You know, all those crazy things that we read about. They observed the miracles, but they were too scared, you know, to go up the mountain and have that intimacy with God. And so the reason I love this verse is because it's actually an invitation to us to know, we can know God's ways if we choose to go into that place of intimacy with him. And the same thing applies now as it did then. You know, we all know God to a certain extent, you know. If we've given our lives to him, his spirit is living inside of us. But still, there's a choice to draw near to him in intimacy with him. You know, that we can truly know his ways. Or we can just stand back and just know about him at a distance. But I want to be someone who knows God's ways. Who just knows his heart. Who knows how he thinks about things and why he thinks that way and how would he be in this situation. And that comes from that intimacy with him. So we have that invitation to intimacy with the Holy God, you know, awesome God. You know, sometimes it's like we forget just the awesomeness of who God is, that he would invite us into that place of intimacy with him. So it's an amazing promise for us. Okay, I need to quicken up because I want to have time for us to pray for each other. But, okay, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. It's good news, isn't it? That's the way that God deals with us. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in mercy. As we approach God, that's the way he approaches us in return. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. It's good, isn't it? You know, we have these analogies there to show us. You know, God, he chooses to remember our sins no more. You know, as far as the east is from the west, the east and the west never touch. That's far, how far he removes our sins from us. And maybe for some of us this morning, there are sins in our lives that still feel like they're attached to us, because maybe we can't forgive ourselves for things. We kind of know that God's forgiven us, but we haven't forgiven ourselves. And this morning, maybe actually the Holy Spirit just wants to come and give you freedom in that area, that you'll know as far as the east is from the west, he's removed them from you. They're not your identity anymore because of God's mercy and his grace coming in. Okay, so verse 13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. So he approaches us as a father. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. So, you know, it's talking there about, you know, God knows that we're only human, as it were. You know, and he knows that we can't operate without him because he created us. He created us for that perfect communion with him. It's only in that place that we can fully be who we've created to be. And he understands what it's like for us. Okay, so as we carry on reading that psalm, you know, we see that there's just this line that I wanted to read to you that is at the bottom of my study Bible. And it says, this song of gratitude began in the sick room of despair and ends in the throne room of divine splendor. I really love that. And, you know, that's so true that as we get on through that psalm, you know, it's talking about, you know, who God is, his throne in heaven, his kingdom rules over all. You know, it's kind of, you know, we've gone through encouraging ourselves to praise the Lord and remembering who he is and remembering how he deals with us as humans, who he is, his father heart, all of that stuff. And then we get to the place that, and he's the God who has a throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. This is the God who we're in relationship with. That kind of awesome power that he has, that he rules over all. And so, you know, we go on this journey to our perspective changing to who God is, this awesome God. And so this morning, I just want us to spend some time just praying for each other. Because, you know, I feel, like I said, that God wants to encourage us in who he is. We've spent some time reflecting on this psalm, and I encourage you to reflect on it more in your own time, just to let it go deep into your spirit about who God is. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that leads us into truth. Just spend some time with him, letting the Holy Spirit just taking it deep, deep, bringing that revelation, renewing our minds with the truth about who God is, so that we can choose and be encouraged to feast on his goodness. And so, just for the next, however long we've got left, 5 or 10 minutes, I think it would just be really good if we could just pray for each other and prophesy over each other, encourage each other. Is anyone up for that? So, I want to encourage you to move around and pray for people. Pray for people that you feel maybe the Holy Spirit's giving you a word for. Don't, as if you're able to walk around. Oh, Annette's got her crutches. But, you know, let's encourage each other in the Lord. And, you know, it talks about, obviously, Paul read that passage at the beginning, you know, bringing a prophecy to each other to encourage each other. It talks about in that passage. And I just really feel like that's what we should do this morning. So I just want to pray, and then I'll encourage everyone to join in with this. And, you know, if you've never prophesied before, then don't worry. If you want, it tells us in Corinthians that we should eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially that we might prophesy. So if you want to prophesy, just ask the Holy Spirit to give you that and just go with it. You know, the first time I ever prophesied, I felt like God said to me to tell my friend, God says you've got to be strong. And I was so scared to tell her this because I was like, is it God? Is it not? Ah. And then I just thought, okay, at the end of the day, if it's not God, it's not going to be damaging to her and she's my friend. So I'll say it. And I said it to her and she just burst into tears because God had been telling her to do something and she'd been saying, but I'm not strong enough. And so I was like, wow, it was God. So I'll encourage you to take a risk. You know, as long as you're saying something encouraging, it's not going to be damaging if it's not exactly God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I want to encourage everyone to do that. But let's just pray. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you so much that we can choose to feast on your goodness, that we don't have to feast on the negativity around us, but we can just rest in who you are, in your great love, your goodness, your Father heart for us. Lord, the incredible promises that you've given us for now, Lord, but also the promise that we have of spending eternity with you in heaven, Lord, that it's just going to get better and better as we follow you. And Lord, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would just use us to minister encouragement into each other. Lord, that our souls would be happy in you, Lord, that fresh sense of who you are to us, Lord. So we just pray that the spirit of prophecy would just be released and that there would be encouragement to each other, Lord. Amen. So please do jump up, move around. Pray for each other. If you're not sure, you don't have a prophetic, or just go and ask someone, is there something I can pray for you? And just pray stuff over each other.